Over again. Robert Half is the better way to find top talent quickly. Robert Half interviews and custom matches applicants to your exact requirements. Satisfaction guaranteed. Robert Half, the experts in accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, and administrative staffing. Visit roberthalf.com.
To thank you for helping build MyPillow into the big company that it's become, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, has created the new Radio Listener Special. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the new Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, and you can get deep discounts on the new body pillow, on regular MyPillow, the travel pillows, the Giza Dreams bed sheets, lots of savings there. MyPillow.com, use promo code USA and save on everything on the website.
Members of Congress are still waiting to hear what kind of gun reforms President Trump might support. House Minority Whip Steve Scalise, Republican from Louisiana, tells Fox News, people who are expecting President Trump to support a crackdown on legal gun ownership shouldn't hold their breath.
Clearly, the president wants to do what he can to stop school shootings, to stop mass shootings, but he also is a strong supporter of those fundamental Second Amendment rights.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio announced on Friday that he will end his bid for the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination.
So getting out there, being able to hear people's concerns, address them with new ideas, it's been an extraordinary experience. But I have to tell you at the same time, I feel like I've contributed all I can to this primary election. And it's clearly not my time, so I'm going to end my presidential campaign. And I'm going to keep speaking up for working people.
De Blasio was speaking there on MSNBC. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Contract talks between General Motors and the UAW are expected to continue through the weekend and possibly beyond. UAW President Terry Dittus says that while there has been some progress, there are still some big issues that remain unsolved. Insurance costs, a way for temp workers to gain permanent status, and profit sharing are among the primary sticking points. Nearly 50,000 union members walked off the job at GM plants Sunday at midnight. On Monday, former White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer sported a neon green ruffled shirt as he danced to the Spice Girls song Spice Up Your Life on Dancing with the Stars. Well, the outfit went viral, and Spicer announced on Friday on Fox News that he will be auctioning off that famous shirt for a charity.
I'm really not sure it has many other purposes, so I'm good to let it go for a good cause, and that's what we're doing today. There's two causes that are near and dear to me, the Yellow Ribbon Fund, which take care of caregivers for our injured service members, and the Independence Fund that provides tracked wheelchairs to those injured service members. And so we're going to auction the shirt off. Someone might want a great Halloween costume. Halloween's just around the corner. You might be a huge Dancing with the Stars memorabilia collector, whatever it is. If you go to Spicer Arnold today, or Lindsay Arnold's my partner. Spicer Arnold's our campaign site. If you go to that today, there's a bid on that. You can go to the charity site and to make a donation, or a bid rather. And then whatever proceeds we get, we're going to split them and donate them to both the Yellow Ribbon Fund and the Independence Fund.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Well, good afternoon, and it is a beautiful afternoon out there. Hope you've had a chance to be out. But we're also going to not have one of these great days and then a horrible weekend. We're looking forward to a very good weekend. Tonight, mostly clear, low of about 53 degrees, so it's nice sleeping weather. Tomorrow, we can expect a sunny day, high of about 84 degrees. By tomorrow night, it's mostly clear, but then there's going to be some patchy fog. So be careful, because the fog can really, when they talk about patchy, where it's the patch can be really very difficult to see. I live near Round Valley Reservoir, and we can get a lot of fog up there, especially when you're going down into the valleys. So by Sunday, again, starting out patchy fog, but then mostly sunny, high of about 86 degrees. So that should be, nice day both Saturday and Sunday. By Sunday night, partly cloudy. Monday, there is about a 30% chance of showers, probably later in the day. And into Monday night, again, a chance of showers. But we're not expected any really bad weather. What we can expect is, you know, some showers. And frankly, we need some rain. Who would have ever thought it? But right now, we haven't had that much rain in September. And so everybody is saying we really do need rain. So I will be back after a couple commercials and, or I should say spots from our sponsors. And hopefully John Manfreda will have joined me. If not, you're going to hear a lot of boring stuff about the Packers for a while. And Bill is not going to be here today. He's not on his boat, but he had something else that he couldn't make the program. So in any event, stay tuned, and John will be here. And, of course, I'm a happier football fan than John is. So we'll talk about that and probably talk a little bit about the unstoppable Patriots. And, of course, Philly fans and Giant fans should be concerned about the Cowboys this year. I mean, the Cowboys are, you know, really looking good. Unfortunately, they picked up Randall Cobb. And when I say unfortunately is I really wish Randall had stayed in Green Bay, and I'll tell you why a little later. So we'll be back after a few spots, which I'll play right now, and that way we won't have so many interruptions when John gets here. And he better get here.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Everybody over there! Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody over there!
I'm sorry. I've just been talking, and I spent probably 5 minutes talking, thinking that my mic was on, just realizing that it wasn't. So if you're still with me after listening to commercials and then hearing, blank, what I was talking about at first was how important NAMI is, and anyone with teenagers or any mental illness in the family, and teenagers who, there's lots of stuff out there, lots of opioids, and heroin is a big problem. And even the kids who, one of the things that I think, and this is the sports guys, John isn't here yet, but one of the things that I think sports can do is they keep the kids off of the drugs, because I'm not saying that there aren't athletes who do drugs, because there are, and of course we all know about the drugs that enhance performance, but in general, I think the kids who really are into sports and really into, keeping themselves fit, recognize that, they need to do the exercise. They don't need to take the drugs. So what's happening in the sports world? Well, since John isn't here yet, you have to hear me talking about the Packers. Now, the Packer game is not on usually, and I don't believe it was last on television last week, unless you get one of the sports channels. I know a lot of people get the Red Zone. I actually want to watch the game. I know you get all of the highlights in the Red Zone, but you don't get a feel of the game. And I thought especially the feel of the game last week when the Packers played the Vikings, that was really important. One of the things that, was really heartwarming is that Bart Starr's widow came out on the field. I think there were some other celebrations that she had come to Green Bay. And, of course, Bart Starr was not only the quarterback, was not only at Green Bay for years as a quarterback, he was also the coach, and he and his family lived just outside of Green Bay in little town next to Green Bay. They almost run into each other. I guess they do now. And that was De Pere. I know he lived right down the block from where my husband lived. I can't say he grew up in that house because they moved a lot of places, meaning my husband. But they lived there. Bart Starr and all of the players, maybe not all of them, but most of the players lived around Green Bay. You saw them regularly, and it really is a small hometown. But in any event, so Bart Starr's widow came out with Brett Favre, who was wearing number 15, Bart's shirt and his number, and came out, had a great standing ovation. I guess Brett Favre may not be willing still to come out by himself, although he was really, welcomed, not saying with open arms, but he was welcomed when he came. I know he was going to, the first time he came back to Lambeau Field after leaving the Vikings, he did not initially come back because he was supposed to come back with Bart Starr, and Bart really wasn't up to it physically. And then later he did come back, and Brett Favre came back with Bart Starr and actually got a pretty warm welcome. So this is, of course, the new coach. It's his first professional coaching job, Matt LaFleur. And I asked my husband to guess how many coaches had been in Green Bay, and he really didn't get close. I think he said about 10, and actually Matt LaFleur is the 15th head coach of the Packers. Now, of course, the Packers, this is the 100th anniversary, and the Packers were one of the first teams, along with the Bears, and so that was really interesting. They have a storied history, and of course the Vikings are the new kids on the block. I think the Vikings were established in about 1960. So from the from the Packers standpoint, they go back to 1919. So we're in 2019, and they go back to 1919. And just to bore you a little bit more, the Packers, most people know they're owned by the city. They talk about shareholders, but really shareholders, I'm not saying it was a gimmick, but it was a gimmick a few years ago that you could buy stock in the Packers. It gets you nothing other than the whatever you want to put on the wall, because the team will never be sold, and so no one will ever be able to make any money on their stock. They wouldn't even be able to get any money, because the way the charter for the Packers works is if they ever leave or are sold, I guess I should say, if they're ever sold, all the money goes into charities. So the game started with the Vikings. They won the toss, but they deferred. And so the Packers, the Vikings were thinking about the miserable start the week before when the Packers played the Bears. And, I mean, the first quarter, as I recall, there was something like a minus 12 yards. And so the Vikings were hoping to, capture that and, again, keep Aaron Rodgers just very quiet. However, it was really exciting because the Packers started off with a long throw to Davante Adams. Aaron Rodgers connected with Davante Adams, made a 39-yard run. And then the next play, Rodgers flipped it to Jones, and he made about 6 yards. So on the second and four, Aaron Rodgers pitched it to Jones again, and he made about 15 yards. So then, again, we're at the third, first and 10, and there was one second and four involved. But other than that, so we're down at the 15-yard line, and then there's a Williams, touchdown by Williams, does, of course, the great Lambeau leap. And if you've never been at Lambeau, it's actually sometimes hard to see it at Lambeau. They always see it on television. And one thing I think the refs were smart is they've never said that was excessive celebration. If they did, they'd probably have 80,000 fans in Lambeau down to nail them. But that the Packers 75 yards in a little more than 2 minutes. So that was really the way to start. So at that point, the Vikings take over. And Kirk Cousins, he's the Viking quarterback. And as I recall, their prior week, they only made 10 pass attempts the entire game. So he started at this first and 10 at the 25-yard line, and first play was a 13-yard pickup. And then again, they had a first and 10, and they did not make a first down. Martinez came in and tackled. Martinez is really one of the better Packer defense guys. And so what happened is the Cousins in the next play, I think it might have been the next play, he avoided a sack. Then we went into, there was a throw it away, meaning Cousins threw the ball away so he wouldn't get tagged for a lot of, problem with the grass. And he just didn't want to get tackled for a loss. And there was actually the throw in second and 10, third and 10, but he was unable to catch it. So they got to fourth down, and not that I want to go through this whole game, but it was, from a Packers standpoint, very interesting game. So fourth and 10, Bailey came out and, to make the field goal, and he didn't make it. So it was about a 47-yard field goal attempt, and he just didn't make it. So back to the Packers. I think at that point he was on about the 37-yard line. And the Packers now were back, first and 10 from the 37-yard line. First was a throw to Jones, second four, Jones again. The third and six, Jones lost a couple yards that time. Third and six, right on target. I mean, right there. And Velasquez Scanlon made a 14-yard, there was a 14-yard gain on that. So, again, back to Jones, first and 10, Jones, second and 9, didn't go far there. One of the things that you noticed, because it's unusual to see, is that Aaron Rodgers had a wristband on his wrist, and had the tickets were obviously, I shouldn't say tickets, the plays were obviously on this, what I would call a cheat sheet, but I don't know why they weren't doing just calling in all the plays. They weren't. Maybe it was to some extent because of the, I don't know actually why it was, but that was going to be a problem. And I don't know if it was that there was a problem with the audibles, because you could tell at times that Aaron Rodgers was, in fact, listening to the what was going on. And guess who just walked in?
So you guess know. The cats were out in.
Yeah, you don't need to hear all about the Packer game. We can talk about the Giant game last week.
Well, I suppose that may be in order given the changes. Good afternoon, everybody. John Manfreda here. Pat, it just never fails. You hit every snag with every client and every red light on the way to Flemington this afternoon.
Please.
But having said that, it's a end of a wonderful week, a very wonderful week in many regards. And I would like to talk about the Giants because the Packers just keep on coming into my face. What can I tell you? I'm assuming you got my latest email. In any event, or text, I'm not sure which. She's nodding, folks. She does. All right, give the Packers their due, 2-0. But in the land of Big Blue, obviously everybody knows, big change here. The real issue, Pat, when you break it down is, why now? Is it simply a function of let's upgrade the position? Is it more of let's see what Daniel Jones can do? Or is it the season is lost, the defense can't stop anybody? The offense potentially is in pretty good shape when you get the receivers back.
Yeah, in
but
fact,
the defense is not going to stop my grandmother.
But I don't think Eli I mean, you know, I...
But you're judging him based on no receivers.
No, I'm saying I don't think it's Eli's fault.
No, it's not.
He didn't have any receivers, and...
And the defense kept them on the field, so let everybody down the field. So the offense was back out on the field, and their field position was generally bad, because even if the defense was able to get a stop,
right,
they gave up a bunch of first downs, so they get pinned inside their 10-yard line. The whole recipe was one for disaster. Now, the thing with Jones, the more I hear, the better it sounds. They wouldn't be making the move if they didn't think he was capable of handling the plays right now. He looked good in the preseason, and everybody said, well, but that's against, you know, third stringers. Okay. But, you know, they practice every week, and they judge a lot of what they decide – facts they decide upon based on what they see. And from the feedback is that this guy's throwing darts, that his arm strength is a lot greater. One of the big knocks on him coming out of Duke
was
his arm strength. And they're saying there's no problem. Now, does he have Aaron Rodgers' arm? No. But you know what?
He doesn't need it.
No, exactly.
But he needs receivers. So why
do they think
that all of a sudden, if they get a new quarterback, the receivers are going to be better?
Well,
that's what I don't understand.
Okay, and that is correct. I think that is an aside point, though, Pat. You needed to make the change because it appeared that Eli had sort of lost the team, so to speak. He was no longer the leader he was. The sentiment in the locker room seemed to be, right, you know, we're not playing for anything right now because we have no defense and the receivers are out. So I think what the Giants are saying is we're not going to win anyway. Let's give them a shot.
But that, come on, 0-2 and they say we're not going to win anyway? I mean, that is...
Well, it's 0-2 and you know you're going to get some receivers back that's going to help the offense, but the defense is not going to get upgraded. It is what it... In fact, it'll get worse as injuries happen, and it's going to be a major problem. Now, part of it they kind of knew. They did pick up a couple of defensive players in the Beckham trade. Peppers is a pretty good defensive back to replace Landon Collins, who was an all-pro. And they got the big problem they have, Pat, and you ain't ever going to address this unless you do it in the draft. They don't have any edge pass rushers. If you look at all the second division teams in the league, being 17 through 32, okay, those teams, almost without exception, they certainly don't have, because you really need two edge pass rushers,
right,
to make it work. They don't even have one, most of those. And the Giants maybe have a half of one. You know, they do have a couple of guys that can get some pressure, and they finally started getting some sacks on the Buffalo quarterback in the second game. But, you know, against the Cowboys, they never got close to Zach. And you know, it's or Dak, as it may be. So, bottom line, Pat, I understand what you're saying. You put the young guy in, don't make the receivers better. The receivers have at least two more weeks to go before Tate is back, and I think Shepard. So, at this point, what you're doing is you're throwing the kid in there under circumstances where the line is going to hold up. He's going to get some time. The line went from being one of the worst in the league to some people are calling it a top 10 line in the league now. The line is significantly improved.
Well, and if he didn't have that, it would be a...
They wouldn't put Daniel Jones in there. Right. But they know he can give him some time. You also have Saquon Barkley back there. So he's got some things to work with. What I think they want to see what he can do is run around and make something happen. You know, if you don't have good receivers who are going to get open on their pass patterns, then your pocket passer isn't going to help you. But with a quarterback that can run around, you may get a second-tier receiver who might, after a couple of seconds, be able to break from the coverage and, you know, maybe in a secondary pattern pick something up. So I think but I really think the big thing is they've decided, look, Eli is not playing great, ain't going to get any better. Let's put the young guy in. It is going to get better for him because he is going to get those receivers. And let's give him 14 games of experience. And we're really playing for 2020 because we need to get good receivers. They need at least one more good receiver. All right? You probably could use another decent back to spell Saquon from time to time. Although I think they do. I think they're pretty well set back there. The real thing is they need at least four or five players on defense. Now, if they were to finish, let's say 3-13 again, 4-12, which is likely, they'll get a top five pick. This time, you go for the best edge pass rusher, and then you try to sign somebody in the offseason. And you maybe even make a trade, although they're not much to trade with. But the point is, you acquire a top edge pass rusher and maybe a second tier one, that you beef up that pass rush. Because right now, the secondary guys are all young and they're not bad. The problem is, with no pressure on the quarterback,
right,
no, an all pro's not going to cover even a secondary receiver.
Well, but, I mean, how well developed are these edge guys when they come out of college? I mean, can
you know,
really,
you know, Pat,
tell?
It's a great question, and I think of all the positions, it's in a football team,
right,
it's the one position that's easy, because it's basically come out of your 3-point stance and bull rush the guy in front of you.
But can you tell who's really going to be able to do that when they come out of college?
You know, it's the judge of talent. Generally speaking, you know, in college, because it's the guys who are heads and shoulders above everybody else. And it's the Boses, okay? These kind of guys that nobody can stop them. That when you bring them in the NFL, at least they have a competitive edge to try to get in the backfield and get pressure on the quarterback. Now, you have some faster, smaller defensive. I mean, you know, you're not going to get four horsemen of the apocalypse there. So, in my view, you try to get two big edge pass rushers. You maybe try to get one big run stopper, which they have right now, B.J. Hill, up the middle, who can get some pressure. You clog the middle, and then you put fast guys on the outside. And that is a better recipe. Right now, Pat, they just don't have the personnel to run those plays.
Well, you know, it has seemed to me, and I'm not a Giants fan, as you know, but it seemed to me that this year that they really didn't want Eli to succeed. I mean, I'm sorry, but
it's funny you say that. You can almost say that they didn't want to let him go. But what John Mara did in his father's memory, because his father treated Eli like another son,
right?
And John's a smart guy. I mean, he's a lawyer. He went to BC Law School. He's a real smart guy. And he couldn't break from the pattern. It's almost universal now. They made a mistake. I mean, Saquon Barkley is a great player. There's no question about it. And I think long term, it will be viewed as the right decision. But the problem is, the big problem last year when you had six quarterbacks is you didn't know who was going to be good, whereas you knew Barkley was going to be good. It was the safe pick. All right? Having said that, Daniel Jones, school is out. He's got all the physical attributes. The question is, how quick is he? Can he maintain the arm strength? Can he stay injury-free?
Exactly. Can he stay injury-free?
And with that line, he has a much better shot. And that was the other thing. Had they drafted one of those six quarterbacks last year, gotten rid of Eli, and put them behind that offensive line, the kid would be dead. It'd be like David Carr revisited. So I think the Giants made all good decisions in that regard. Now I think they're saying, we have a decent line. We have Saquon back there. You know, put the kid in. Give him 14 games. Even if they go 0-16 and they get the top pick, and there's a lot of us who wouldn't mind seeing that, let the kid get his experience. You know, you're one or two drafts away.
Oh, nobody wants to go 0-16.
You know what?
I mean, come on.
You know what? It's embarrassing, but I think if you look at it, I mean, look at the Houston Astros switching to baseball. They had the top pick in the MLB draft in something like 3 out of 5 years and like 4 out of 10. I mean, they were just an abomination. Now look at them. But here's the difference. They hit on all their top picks. The Giants were drafting offensive linemen, and they whiffed on all those picks. They had 4 number one picks. None of them panned out. They're all gone.
Well, and of course, that's always, you know, the situation. You know, of course, I'm looking at the Packers, and they need more receivers. I mean, Davante Adams is great.
Allison is good.
Allison's good.
He's a good possession receiver.
But
big.
But they still, I mean, Rodgers used to have more guys, and nobody could figure out who he was going to
throw to. Right, he had options.
And this last game, I think he was throwing too much to.
Well, I think this last game, the game ball goes to the defense.
Yeah, well, no, but actually the last game, I mean, the Packers came out in the first half.
And overwhelmed them.
Oh, it was just, I mean, that first touchdown was unbelievable. And I couldn't believe that by the fourth quarter I was biting my nails. Really, I thought the Packers were going
to
lose.
Yeah, I'd say right down to the very end, I thought it wouldn't have shocked me if Minnesota had come back. But they're Minnesota, so the Packers do well against them.
But and they were playing in Lambeau. But I didn't understand that one call, and I still don't understand where they had, was it offensive blocking? And when Diggs got into the end zone, I mean,
yeah, it's almost like a pick play. You can't throw a pick in football, or basketball. You can't run a pick, and it's dangerous. That's why.
Okay.
So it was a good call. The Packers didn't really complain about it. They knew. So in the final analysis, they played a solid game.
No, I'm talking about the call against Minnesota.
Right. It was a dangerous play.
Okay, but I mean the Packers.
The Vikings didn't complain.
Okay, I was going to say.
Yeah.
The Packers wouldn't.
The Packers were jumping up and down, and they were right about it. But I don't know, Pat. All I can say is, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear the snickering. If I walk in here in a couple of weeks wearing a Packers jersey, I don't want to see any snickering.
I tell you what, I'm expecting you to walk in a couple of weeks with a cheese head on.
Hey, folks, I had to do that a couple of years ago when the Packers beat the Giants. We had our BNI meeting, and all morning I had to wear the cheese head because Pat won that game. However, I did get the last laugh because I won the NFC Championship game, which gave us another Super Bowl.
And I sat there watching it in 13 below zero
you did.
Weather and looked at what was happening in overtime.
And with Pat, maybe we'll take a break.
We'll take a little break and play some of the sponsors, and we'll be back shortly.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, so
we're back.
I don't know, baseball, hockey.
Hockey's, I'll mention a quick hockey note. The New Jersey Devils beat the New York Rangers, the Blue Shirts. Of course, I'm very, very happy about that because I get to stick it to somebody who's a big Ranger fan. But they played very, very well. And actually, the big Devils point is their first preseason game earlier in the week, their top pick scored two goals in his first game, including the game winner in overtime. Wow. Now, that's not bad for a first professional game, even preseason. This kid is really good. Now, they've got two of the top three picks in the last 2 years, because Nico Hershey scored the game winner last night, the two top picks in the whole draft. So they are looking pretty good. I'm expecting a lot. I'm anxious to get back. I only went to one game last year. I think we're going to have some decent hockey back in New Jersey.
Wow, you used to have season tickets.
I had season tickets to the Devils for 25 years.
Wow.
I was there for all the cups, all the Marty year. I saw virtually every single game Marty ever played for his entire career. Because I got the tickets in 89, he came in 1993, and I had my season tickets right through 2 years ago, and he retired like 5 years ago. So my season ticket tenure spanned his entire career. So now we'll be back there and seeing some good hockey.
Is it, you know, and I've had certain things when I've had a subscription to something, and I go even if I don't want to go because I have, you know, play tickets. But how did you go from season ticket holder, and I know you didn't go to every game, but down to going to one game last?
Well, that was a process of over a couple of years. I had four full season tickets for 25 years. Then I went to a partial plan, which is a dozen games, which is a half a season, and then to eight. And then so it pared down just over the last couple of years. And thank God, last year I didn't have the game I went to was in November, and then in December my retina detached, or I wouldn't have been able to go to any of the games.
That's true. But so what do you think? How the Devils going to do this year?
Well, I mean, I think they're going to be competitive. I think they'll be above 500. I think they will get into the playoffs, and they're a young team. And if the goaltending is decent, I think they could survive a round, Pat. I really do. And I think they could make it to the top eight. And I think next year, with another good draft and another year under the belt of these young kids, they should be a contender in the 2021 season. I really think so.
You know, we always focus on injuries in football.
Oh, big.
But, you know, I mean, I don't follow hockey the way you do, but what about injuries in hockey? I mean, they've got to also have to be very worried about injuries in hockey.
Oh, and you know, Pat, like football, hockey injuries can be devastating.
Oh, I had a grandson who, because of a bad concussion.
Concussions are the number one thing, but you got knees, because your body is getting hit. Very dangerous sport in many respects.
Well, and it's such, when you think about it, I mean, football is a slow game. Hockey's a fast game.
And you know what? God forbid if your head isn't up and you get hit.
Right.
I mean, that, you know, it's devastating. But anyway, I think they'll do well. I think the Rangers will improve. You know, they finished right down at the bottom with the Devils, and they had the second overall pick. And they'll do well. I think the Flyers will also be improved. But for decades, you had, from the late 1980s until just a couple years ago, the Devils, Flyers, and Rangers had great hockey teams around here. Unfortunately, for the Rangers and the Flyers, the Devils won three cups. The Flyers won none, and the Rangers won that one lucky one in 94. But having said that, moving on to baseball, it is going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, I mean, what's happened? You know, Dave, my husband, who's been in the hospital for a while, the only thing he's able to do is watch the Mets. And, of course,
yeah,
they were hot for a while, and they were very cold.
Yep, well, they got everybody's interest. But they had an amazing run.
The only football he could get were you know, Jets and
Giants. Jets and Giants, and that's not fit for anybody.
Nope. I mean, we've DVR'd the Vikings. But it's
well, hopefully, yeah. No, when you know the outcome. Although, if they win, it's not bad watching it on DVR because you know they won. You know, it's the loss that you have to painfully sit through.
Well, but
I hear you.
What we usually do is DVR just so we can watch it a little later, but not find out the score.
I mean, correct. Oh, that's the best. And that's great because you can fast forward commercials.
You never better call us on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
But you're right.
Yep.
You can watch a game in just a little more than an hour.
Correct.
If you go through all the commercials.
Absolutely.
So every once in a while, there's a good commercial with Aaron Rodgers, and so I stop and
watch that. Yeah, and you watch Aaron. I get that.
Commercial.
Yep. I get it.
But no, it really, we started doing that a few years ago, especially, and my brother taught me that because, you know, in Wisconsin, you know, getting into the late fall, they don't have good weather.
Right.
So he said early games, you know, he did not want to spend a nice day on a Sunday watching television.
Right.
So that is my hint. It's a good way to watch a lot of things if you want to watch television.
Sure. That's true. But let's switch to baseball, though, because the Yankees clinched the division.
I know.
And there's a funny story that is coming out of New York because the Red Sox won the last three divisions in a row.
Yeah, we know.
The Yankees haven't won since 2012. And the Yankees, though, most of those years, not all of them, but some of them, got into the wild card, which is the one-year playoff. So last year in particular, the switchboard was burning up with Yankee fans saying, this is ridiculous. Our team won 100 games, and now the whole thing rides on one playoff game. And they were all bitterly complaining. This year, today, all the calls were, oh, there's nothing wrong with the one-game format. And so the 1 year, the Yankees finally win a division for the first time in 7 years. Now the one-game format is okay. But, you know, it goes with the territory. You know, when you talk about the Yankees, nobody's ever going to confuse the word fairness with Yankee fans. But kudos to them. They got in, and it's going to be, I think, an exciting postseason. They do have a very good team. Houston is formidable, but so isn't Oakland, Cleveland. I mean, these teams, and Minnesota has really had a very good year. Now, Minnesota hasn't beaten the Yankees really ever, okay? I mean, in 50 years, it is just their record against the Yankees. There's something about nobody knows, but I don't think they've ever defeated the Yankees in postseason play. And this could be the year that they come close or maybe do it. So by no means, last year it wasn't that big of a deal because the Red Sox took care of Houston pretty quick.
Right.
And then the Yankees, of course, you know, they routed Minnesota. But then we know what happened in the ALCS. But bottom line is the Yankees, you know, they don't better not celebrate too long because they're pitching, Pat. Everybody knows they've got launch angle and they can hit the ball out of the park. But so can't the other team. They get paid too.
Yeah,
and they're starting pitching.
The Yankee pitching has been.
Is not championship caliber. They won 100 games with their hitting. And in the playoffs, Houston can roll out three top-flight starters. So the Yankees, you know, they have a good chance, puncher's chance. But, you got to give a slight edge to Houston at this point with the better pitching. And may the games begin. It's going to be a lot of fun. And even though I'm not in it this year, I will enjoy watching.
Well, the Mets are now out of it, aren't they?
I think they're just about virtually mathematically eliminated.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Or they will be this weekend,
So who do you think is...
Well, I mean, in the American League, I think Houston, at least going in on paper, has to be viewed as the favorite. And in the National League, the Dodgers again for the third year in a row.
Yeah. Why?
Well, they're just flat out the best team. I mean, the Dodgers are maybe better than they were the last 2 years, and they went to the World Series. I think they may be better this year because they're healthier, I think. I mean, they got great players. Bellinger, yeah. You know, I mean, they got great players on that team. It's a very, very good Los Angeles Dodgers team. Now, the big thing is, you know, last year the Red Sox pitching blew them away, and the big hitting, you know, just destroyed their pitching. And, you know, remember, the Dodgers play in the National League. It's a lighter hitting league, you know, and so you got to give a big advantage to Houston because they're used to, you know, a barrage of extra base hits, and that pitching and that defense is used to that. The Dodgers, you know, they're in that light hitting National League.
So, but in the playoffs, when the pitchers have to hit.
In the National League parks, the pitchers have to bat.
They bat all the time.
Of course. And that is a big advantage, absolutely, because the American League team has to totally disrupt its lineup. Because usually the designated hitter is usually the third, fourth, or fifth hitter. So now you take them out of the lineup, you're changing everything.
Yep.
So that's a big advantage. But it's an advantage, not a big advantage. It's not enough to, I think, carry the Dodgers. I don't know what was the home field this year. Who won the All-Star game? Do you remember?
No.
I don't remember, but you know what? I don't think home field advantage is that big either. But last year the Dodgers had the home field advantage, and it was tough because for the second year in a row, they had to watch first Houston, and then the Red Sox beat them on, you know, in Dodger Stadium. Can you imagine if that happens 3 years in a row? I mean, that, you know, they'd be like the Buffalo Bills of baseball. You don't want that to happen.
Well, I'm trying to remember what football team, what football game I recently watched, and I mean, it sounded like both teams had about an equal number of fans. I mean, it was really.
I don't know. Yeah, it might have been one of the Dallas games because they travel well. You know, they travel well. So
well, the Packer fans travel well too. So
we may need to hit a couple of more spots and then come and wrap up.
We're going to wrap up. I actually played a few before you came in, since I wanted once you came in to talk. So actually, we'll just play one spot and be right back.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
Okay, John, we're back for probably less than a minute. So any thoughts? I'm not going to be here next week, and so you are going to have to get here on time.
Well, I won't be here next week because I have an engagement with another Packer fan. That's next week.
Well, then Bill will have to be here alone.
Well, we may wind up. But I think this weekend it is going to be very interesting for the New York football fans. First, the Jets are going to Foxborough. They are a record 22.5-point underdog, more than three touchdowns.
Wow.
And everybody knows it can be 62-0 New England with 2 minutes to go, and Belichick will pull a fake punt to try to run it up even more. It's going to be awful. And, you know, the Jets are going to have to pay for that. They're just going to have to endure it. The Giants, it's the Daniel Jones show. Let them step up. Godspeed.
Where are they playing?
They're playing in Tampa Bay, which is better than having it. You want to start it on the road. Tampa's a decent team. It's a great first. They're doing it well. They're making good decisions. No doubt they are going to make sure he is protected with that line. That's the important thing. Hopefully the tight end, Evan Engram, will get open. He's a great playmaker, and I think you're going to see a lot of Saquon Barkley running the ball.
Well, you know what else I think you'll see is a lot of Giant fans. It's Florida. And if
that is very
fans,
true. That is very true.
Travel,
they know, travel
they,
well,
they
especially
may,
in Florida.
They all may be 80 years old, but they'll be there.
Yep.
Undocumented non-resident workers from deportation.
And,
as Sarah Lee Kessler explains.
Next week. It won't
Manhattan Congressman Gerald Nadler and Queens Congressman Joseph Crowley are pushing a bill protecting illegal immigrants who did recovery and cleanup work at Ground Zero.
There's no doubt in my mind that what they did was beyond patriotic. It was heroic.
The bill would give undocumented 9/11 workers permanent resident status and a path to citizenship. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
And NASA's Juno spacecraft will be getting the closest look ever at Jupiter's giant red spot today. The probe will fly about 5,600 miles over that centuries-old storm on that planet, about three times larger than Earth and arguably the gas giant's most recognizable feature. The spacecraft will take pictures and use precision instruments to see just what we can learn about that thing. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Time is 9:06. It's time for Hunting Chamber Radio Weather. 71 degrees right now in Flemington. It's overcast skies. We've got a 20% chance of precipitation for today. It is July 10th. It's Monday, 2017. Mostly sunny with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs in the lower 80s. South winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of rain will be 20%. Mostly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight. Warm with lows in the upper 60s. South winds around 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a chance of thunderstorms in the morning. Then partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty winds and heavy rainfall in the afternoon.